Blog Talk Radio.
You are tuned in to Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and Sherry Pang. Stay tuned as we enter the world of the unknown. There is a silent, invisible world that surrounds us all. A world we don't understand. A world that we wish to understand. And on Paranormal Horizons, we're going to explore this and hopefully get some answers. Good evening, everyone. I'm Jason Ophir, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. And Sherry Payne couldn't be here this evening, so we have a fill-in guest host, which I'm excited about. And we have Maria Wilson Duff from Night Stalker Paranormal. Maria, how's it going?
Hi, Jason. It's going great. Very glad to be here.
Yeah, thank you for filling in. And I think Sherry wasn't feeling too well, so it's always nice to have somebody else with me this evening. How are things going?
Oh, everything's great. I'm pretty excited about tonight's guest. This is awesome.
Yeah, me too. Tonight we're going to have Ron Patton. He's a writer, and he's also the executive producer of Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis. And I know he knows a lot about conspiracy theory, and that is one of my favorite subjects. Anyway, I wish we talked about it more on this show, so hopefully we can get into a little bit of that. And unless you're ready, we can go ahead and just bring them right on.
That sounds great.
Ron, welcome to the show. How's it going?
Going pretty well, thank you. Just got back from Yosemite Ranch over at Trout Lake, Washington today for our annual Ground Zero Skywatch and camping event. So I had a really good time.
I've always wanted to go there. I've been meaning to go there. Because don't the UFOs like pop out around 10 o'clock at night? That's a big UFO spot. And I guess Sasquatch is out there.
As a matter of fact, yeah. This year, though, didn't see too much. It was pretty cloudy, rained off and on. You could see some activity on Mount Adams, though. There's always these mysterious flashing lights that emanate from there at night, and nobody really knows where they're coming from because it's not really accessible. So at least we could see the mysterious flashing lights from the mountain. But, you know, basically it was just a really good time to get together and hang out and, you know, talk to like-minded people. And we had fans that came all the way from Wisconsin and Texas to come hang out with us. And last night, Clyde Lewis, who's the host of Ground Zero, we're on about 275 stations across the country. He did a presentation called Clade X, which talked about the possibility of an alien pathogen in our midst. And so that was pretty riveting. And then afterward, James Gilliland, who's the proprietor of Yosemite Ranch, had his radio show. And so Clyde got to come on and, you know, they talked about, you know, the hurricanes out in both the Pacific and Atlantic Oceans, and also talked about the Solar National Laboratory that was closed in Sunspot, New Mexico, and all the mysteries surrounding that. So it was a really good time, and you know, we always look forward to doing that each year.
Now I have to ask you a little bit more about this alien pathogen, and but before I do that, if you could give kind of an expanded bio to the listeners. I just kind of touched on it, but I know you do a lot of things, and if you could just tell the listeners a little bit more about yourself. And then I got to ask about that pathogen because I work in a hospital and I want to know what to look for.
All right. I am executive producer of Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis. Like I said, it's a nationally syndicated radio show on about 275 stations across the country. And Clyde talks about parapolitics, which is covert politics, and also the paranormal and pretty much anything else in between. So he takes more of a sort of a deeper esoteric perspective on a lot of world events and even things that are happening within our pop culture. So it's quite different than a lot of late night talk shows. Then I'm also editor-in-chief of Paranoia Magazine and Paranoia Publishing, and it's sort of a paranormal and conspiracy magazine. It's been out since about 1992, and I used to be owner of it for a few years, and now Olaf Phillips is the owner of Paranoia, and I'm just sort of like the figurehead. And actually, we have our own podcast. We try to get out once a week, and it's called the Paranoia Podcast, and it's just a very relaxed, you know, kind of shooting the breeze type thing, as opposed to something that's more polished that I produce on Ground Zero. So it's kind of a nice change of pace.
That's right up your alley, Jason.
I know, right? Well, we're not very polished here either. We just kind of wing it. We love talking to people and their experiences and their stories. Now, I don't want to forget about this alien pathogen thing. I'm really curious. I don't know if you know a lot about it, but can you share that with us, what Clyde was talking about with that? Because this is the first time I'm hearing about it.
Yeah, well, he's talked about it actually at Contact in the Desert. And that was in Indian Wells back in June. So he did a presentation there. And we also did a show on Clade X. And actually, Clade X was a government exercise in the possibility of an alien pathogen coming out and how we would respond to that, you know, in terms of, you know, an emergency or what have you. And it's always interesting when we're involved in these type of things. But anyway, it's sort of theoretical, basically, but it's interesting why this is the first time we're actually involved in doing this type of exercise and trying to get all the emergency response teams coordinated for something like this. And we've never done that before. So why now?
Yeah, I wouldn't trust the government to do a really great job at some sort of emergency management with the stuff with FEMA in the past.
Right, right. But I mean, the thing about, you know, Clade X, again, it's purely hypothetical. But, you know, Clyde talks about a lot of different types of viruses and diseases that basically their origins have been a mystery. And we also know that the government's been involved in sort of manipulating certain types of pathogens and viruses to make them sort of change and evolve into something that it wasn't originally intended to be. So that's another aspect of it as well. Are we seeing a lot of these new diseases that have actually been sort of manipulated behind the scenes? I think there's enough evidence to substantiate that, but it's just sort of like, you know, how far are they really going? Are they using it for like part of their chemical and biological warfare, or are they using it as a way to cull the population? So, I mean, those are just purely theories, but definitely something's going on behind the scenes that the public is not really privy to.
That's what always disturbed me about, you know, these big countries, or particularly the United States, is there's always some sort of covert stuff going on behind the scenes, things that were pretty horrendous that our government did, you know, 40, 50 years about, we're just now hearing about, and who knows what they're doing now, you know, it's kind of scary.
Yeah, it is. And it seems like, you know, there are more and more viruses and bacterias and diseases that are popping up interestingly, in a lot of third world countries. And, you know, it's been going on in Africa and other obscure places. But they're also having these type of pandemics in third world countries where the population growth is sort of like exceeded the limits of the what the United Nations Population Council really desires. So again, that's a pretty interesting coincidence that, especially in Africa, we're finding a lot of these things, where whether it be Ebola or I mean, even we're finding here in the United States how the Zika virus has been able to mutate and sort of take on a life of its own. And unfortunately, for quite a few of these new emerging viruses, you know, there are no vaccines. And so that's very troubling when you're trying to deal with a possible pandemic.
It makes you wonder if it's some master plan with population reduction when some of these antibiotic resistant pathogens come about or new viruses pop mm-hmm. out of nowhere. You know, is it
right?
You know, because our population's exploding, and at some point we're going to exceed the, you know, what our resources can provide. So it wouldn't surprise me if there was something going on. But it's the time of year that we all got to start thinking about the flu. And you know, I like I mentioned, I work in a hospital, and you know, mm-hmm. they don't force us to get the flu shot. But if we don't, if you're dealing with patients, you have to wear a mask and all this. And yeah. I've never gotten the flu, and I've never gotten the flu shot. Are you mm-hmm. aware of any information on if, you know, is there any conspiracy behind the flu shot? Is it safe?
Well, I mean,
I've heard
some tell you,
stories.
Right. Well, from firsthand experience, when I was in high school and going out for football, we all had to get a flu shot. And I was just so sick after getting the flu shot. I was just out of it for almost 2 weeks. So I never got a flu shot after that. And, you know, I rarely get the flu. Once in a great while I'll get it. But, you know, I just think that some people are just more susceptible to it. And then the other thing is regarding any type of vaccinations or immunizations, you know, what are they adding to it? You know, there's a lot of talk, and not just speculation, because if you do an analysis of the ingredients, you know, you'll find out that there's all kinds of crap in there, whether it's like formaldehyde, mercury, and, you know, just all kinds of things. Basically, as a cheap means to preserve them, and that way the pharmaceutical companies can obviously make more money. Now, I'm not totally against immunizations or vaccinations. I think there's a few that we might actually need, but why not just have a fresh batch, you know, and then do it, even though it might cost a little bit more money. So, and I actually heard a couple of doctors at this symposium in Olympia, Washington, several years ago, where they were actually helping children that had some form of spectrum autism, and they felt that there was a direct link with vaccinations and autism. One guy was a epidemiologist, and the other was a pediatrician, and they had these autism clinics throughout the country where they were actually curing a lot of these youngsters. Not totally, you know, because some may have already had some brain damage, but they were much better than they were before. And their cognitive function was much better, as well as other, you know, secondary health issues that they had. And, but they got shut down, you know, which is a shame because they were making a lot of headway. But, I do think there is a conspiracy, and I think it has to do with greed. And, you know, I hate to say it, but I also think there is a culling that's been going on. And again, if you look at the United Nations Population Council's mandates on certain countries and population growth, whether it was Somalia or Haiti or various countries in Africa, if they weren't adhering to it, then all of a sudden you see these emerging diseases pop up in these countries, right? And then you'd also, or you would see various types of conflicts that would come about, and there would be more, there would be wars and, you know, obvious death that comes with war. And so you have a combination of different things going on to basically reduce the population. So cause and effect, you know, I think there's something to it.
What's your take on it, Maria? Are you an anti-vaxxer, or do you get the flu shot?
No, I do not get the flu shot. I have never had the flu, so I'm not going to take a shot against something that I don't get. I do notice, and of course I know we talk a lot about this with people, but I don't get my animals vaccinated either. And my animals live to be ages of 16 to 20 years old.
What kind of animals?
Sometimes just cats and dogs.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, it's a real burden on their system, I think, when they get, you know, any life is vaccinated because of, again, what they put into it to preserve it. And that stuff is highly toxic for our systems, even though the you know, AMA or other organizations, medical organizations, will say, well, it's such a minute amount that it has little to no effect. But, you know, that's bogus. And again, you just look at a cause and effect relationship with how, you know, people's immune systems are actually being more compromised through vaccinations and immunizations.
I know. I think once,
ahead,
whenever, well, when you take your animals in to get them spayed and neutered, which I do that, and everybody, please do that. That just helps the population so much. But, of course, they make you, it's a state law or whatever, that they have to give them those vaccinations while they're there. But I've never taken them back. And, you know, I mean, maybe that makes me, people will say that makes me a bad pet owner, but I have my animals longer than most people do.
Yeah. There you go. Proof's in the pudding, right?
Yeah. I mean, I feed them. I feed them like they're supposed to be fed. You know, it's just common sense on how to take care of an animal. You know, there's certain things cats have to eat that you can't get out of table scraps, but anyways, but you're talking about all of this stuff, and it's taken my mind to the airplanes that were quarantined not too long ago, and then I think a couple of days directly after that, then the observatory shuts down. So everybody's trying to put two and two together and figure out what that, if any of that has anything in common. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I don't think there's any necessarily a relationship between those two events, although regarding the airplanes and the people getting sick and stuff like that, well, you know, there are theories that, well, maybe they just got food poisoning or something like that, but that wasn't the case. They found out that definitely wasn't the case. But it was, interestingly, it was, I believe, the people at the bottom of the airplane, I guess it was one of those double-decker planes or whatever, they're the ones that got sick right away. So what could it have been from the air that got funneled through there? You know, that's a possibility. Again, this could have been maybe just sort of a test model to sort of see, you know, to introduce some sort of pathogen in a contained area and see what the outcome would be. But it happened actually. I think there were about three different planes within a couple of days where people got sick like that. And so I don't know if there's been any follow-up information, what the end result was, but I just found that rather suspicious. And we actually talked about that on Ground Zero when it happened. And again, Clyde was sort of going back to the possibility that we're just sort of doing these as sort of a preliminary thing in order to kind of get an idea how they can maybe make this to be a little bit more effective in getting this whatever type of pathogen or disease they want out. But I mean, when you think about it, what better way to really spread a possible virus than infecting people on an airplane, and then they'll just be dispersed out into the public. But probably the best way to do that would to introduce a pathogen or a virus that probably they wouldn't have any symptoms for about 24 to 48 hours. And so anyway, there was all kinds of speculation about that, but it was still pretty fishy. But regarding the observatory, you know, there was all kinds of theories that were being spun. One of them had to do with the possibility that there was some sort of UFO type event that or ET event that was occurring, and they were able to actually monitor what was happening, so they had to shut it down. Another one was that there was a lot of really huge plasma bursts that were coming from there, which could be a possibility. Another one had to do with the way that observatory was set up. The telescope was sort of on this mercury-based platform, and then the mercury somehow broke through and contaminated the area, and not only the observatory but other parts of the town. Again, that's a nice theory, but most likely it's something else that had occurred. And so to have a whole town pretty much shut down, right? It was the post office first, and then the observatory, and then, you know, the FBI comes in and kind of clean shop. But just the weird thing is you just don't really hear exactly what occurred. And the other thing to kind of coincide with that is that there has been a lot of weird electromagnetic anomalies that have occurred, you know, over the past couple of weeks. Whether it's people's phones not working well, I know even the compasses on a lot of phones were not working properly. Some people's were and some weren't, you know. So there was definitely some sort of electromagnetic radiation disturbance that was occurring for, you know, the past couple of weeks, but nobody's really been able to pinpoint exactly what it's been.
I did kind of notice a couple of days ago that a radio station I listened to on my way to work, I was having, there was a lot of static in it, and I never had that problem.
Right.
But, you know, right. A lot of people just kind of think, well, maybe it's foggy because this time of year around this area, maybe the fog's affecting it. People just throw this stuff off. They don't pay attention.
Right.
And actually, we've not had a huge solar flare of any kind. We're kind of in the solar minimum right now.
Right. But, again, you kind of have to take a look at that solar observatory shutting down, and then the amount of electromagnetic radiation that's been occurring, especially all around the United States, to coincide with all these crazy storms that we've been having, you know. So some people think that what's going on in the sun has something to do with these storms. We had one guy speculate. We had a couple of interesting people on the show, actually the past two shows on Ground Zero. One guy who called in who used to work with DARPA, and he worked as a sort of a department head for their Scalar Weapons Division. And he was saying that they're using these classified programs called Hammer and Smack to basically utilize the sun as an energy weapon, and to kind of to coincide with the utilization of scalar weapons and HAARP type technology to create these superstorms out in the ocean. And his belief was that we're actually engaging in a weather warfare with other countries right now. That's why we have these very strange anomalous storms that are all of a sudden they become these super hurricanes, and all of a sudden they just die down for no reason. Like the one that's dumping all this rain right now, Hurricane Florence on the Carolina coast. And then you have one that's out in the Pacific, right, that's going toward Hong Kong and packing some really high winds. I haven't really followed what was going on over the weekend, so I'm not really privy to the sort of the happenings with the storms right now. I don't know if any of you have heard what's going on, but there were approximately a total of 9 different storms going on in both the Atlantic and the Pacific, and that's been unprecedented.
Well, then plus you had the volcanic activity that's been going on as well.
Yeah, earthquakes, volcanic activity. I mean, it's almost like a, you know, some sort of apocalyptic event, something that's straight out of the Bible, you know. So, but
talk about the perfect weather. Yeah. The perfect weapon, you know, weather would be the perfect weapon. I swear, one of these days, somebody's going to invent a technology, or a technology already exists, and they're just going to wipe us all out, and then humanity's over.
Well, yeah, we already have that technology, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That could easily happen. But it's just, the other night we had Christopher Fontenot, who is a expert on solar radiation. He has a really good website called A Microwave Planet. And it was interesting because there were certain things that Clyde was bringing up, but Christopher didn't want to elaborate because he knew this stuff was still classified. So, so far, we haven't been hassled or harassed about it, but there are times where we'll bring up certain things that we have no idea that they're classified or they're really that sensitive. But there have been occasions where our show has actually been hacked, and either the phone lines go down for no reason, or the show just goes off the air for no reason, and our engineers can't figure out why. But it does happen from time to time.
Well, since you said that, mm-hmm. I have to throw this in. And earlier when you were talking about mentioning that the bioterrorism against our own people,
mm-hmm.
that could the government be doing that? I swear to you, right after you made a comment about that earlier in the show, I heard someone say yes. So somebody may be listening and just kind of is listening into it and made their comment about it to agree with you. I don't know.
But,
tomorrow
well, I mean,
have to go back and listen to that.
Yeah, but the reality is there is historical precedence to substantiate that claim. So it's nothing, it's not just conspiracy theory, it's actually conspiracy fact in that we've been involved with human experimentation for quite a few years, and there's been, you know, documented cases of us, you know, using certain areas like a Greyhound bus station in San Francisco back in the 60s, and a guy had a suitcase that was dispersing some sort of biological agents, and that was causing people to get sick. And that's all on record from the Freedom of Information Act. And then the Tuskegee Airmen, what happened to them in terms of various types of, I don't know if it was syphilis or some really debilitating disease that they were injected with. And, And then, of course, you know, part of the MK Ultra experiments, and people were dosed with LSD and, you know, were tripping out. And so, yeah, well, we've had a long history of human experimentation in this country. And, you know, unfortunately, it still goes on, but under a different, you know, different guise or a different veneer. And there's really, sadly, there's no accountability. You know, we'll have these like presidential committee hearings on certain things, and basically they'll just get their hands slapped or whatever, or, you know, might fire somebody, but nobody goes to jail.
Never.
So it's a shame, because it's a real travesty when humans have no regard for their other fellow humans. You know, it's a very sad commentary, but it's very real. And, you know, a lot of my research was actually dealing with not just human experimentation, but government and CIA mind control and some of the atrocities that we perpetrated on people and children too, back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s through MKUltra.
Do you ever worry about your own personal safety, you know, working with Ground Zero and getting these guests that could be divulging secrets? To me, that would make me nervous, you know, basically putting a target on yourself by exposing, potentially exposing
right.
certain things that we're not supposed to know about.
Well, let me tell you what happened to me. Back in the 90s, when I used to write for Paranoia Magazine, I had written and the article was published in the fall of 1996, and it was called Project Monarch, Nazi Mind Control. And it had to do with trauma-based mind control. And basically what we were doing at the time was torturing children in order to create multiple personality disorder. And with each of those personalities or alters, we would program them to do an assigned task or function. So let's say one alter or personality would be like a human tape recorder. One would be an assassin. One would be involved with sex with politicians or business people to blackmail them. And so basically the reason why they were doing this was to kind of create the perfect spy. And, you know, somebody that was multifaceted. So instead of having one person do one, specialize in one thing, you'd have one person that would be able to specialize in a multitude of different covert and clandestine type things. And, you know, I really didn't believe our government would stoop this low. I didn't believe our military would do things like this. And, you know, over a period of time, whether it be through the Freedom of Information Act or through, you know, talking to survivors of this stuff, I just had to come to the realization and overcome my cognitive dissonance and realize that this, in fact, is going on. And unfortunately, it's still going on today, where there are, if you want to call them sleepers or whatever, that are out in society that are almost undetectable. But they're still being used by the government to do all kinds of heinous acts.
Is that kind of like the Manchurian candidate sort of thing?
Exactly. No, it's exactly what it is. But just how they actually do it is just really gut-wrenching. It's just heartbreaking to know that we would actually do this to children, that they would be raped, they would be electroshock, they would be given drugs in order to, you know, under the guise of national security, right? And so, again, this is not just conspiracy theory, this is fact. A lot of this information came out in 1975 in the church hearings when they were sort of disclosing what was going on with MKUltra. And then I believe in 1995, there was also a presidential committee hearing under Bill Clinton, whereby there was several survivors of this who gave testimony of what they went through. And, you know, like any president, whoever it is, he, you know, Bill Clinton said, you know, I feel for you. And he goes, I promise you, we will get down to the bottom of this before the end of my presidency. Of course, he never did. But so, yeah, this is all out in the open for people to see if they want to check it out. But so that's always been something that's been very bothersome. But at the same time, I, you know, corresponded with quite a few survivors of this throughout the years. And I actually put out a magazine back around 2003 called MK Zine. And that was an examination of coercive mind control and invasive human experimentation. And so it was pretty well received, but it was just hard to keep it going because at the time I was married and had kids. And then the issue actually before that, though, kind of getting back to being targeted or harassed, is when I put out that article called Project Monarch Nazi Mind Control. And then I was also helping a person who was under this type of program, this type of programming, who was running away from actually the mob in Las Vegas. She was being used in a lot of sort of nefarious ways. And so soon after I started, my wife and I were safe housing this woman. There were cars parked out in front of the house, you know, just with regular license plates, but it was just sort of like just people parked right out and just looking at the house. And then we'd have these really strange phone calls where I'd answer them. And they were just like computer tones, all these weird different computer tones. And then later I found out from somebody that and then the person that we were helping out at first, she was like running toward the phone. I go, April, don't. What are you doing? And she, oh, I'm sorry. But anyway, she was basically programmed to answer the phone. And if she picked it up and heard it, those various types of computer tones would have accessed a particular program in her head to do something. And, you know, who knows what it might have been. But anyway, that's what we found out. And it kind of made sense because we never got those phone calls before. And, you know, we'd have those, you know, the black helicopters come over the house. And mind you, we're like right in the city of Olympia, like smack dab in the middle. And we periodically have these helicopters come right over the house and start hovering, and the house would be shaking, literally. And it's kind of like, wow. What the hell is going on, you know? And then we look out, and there was a few times where they actually had a light shining right on the house. So I think, you know, before all this happened, I think my wife thought I was like, you're a little wackadoodle, you know, with all this conspiracy stuff. But when all this stuff started occurring and we were trying to protect this woman, she realized that this stuff was real. So, and she was only actually supposed to be there for a couple of weeks at our house, and then we were going to have her go to a different place, but it ended up like 2 months, unfortunately. And so, I mean, nothing bad really happened to me or my family or April. She's still alive today, and she's pretty much leading a semi-normal life, but she was involved in some pretty crazy things, and maybe even an assassination, a very well-known assassination that occurred in Tijuana, Mexico in 1994, when the presidential candidate of Mexico was assassinated there.
Wow.
It sounds like, you know, having the helicopters and stuff like that, that's just harassment. Is that how you interpret it? Like, I mean, they want you to know they're there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. It was, And then one guy who was, one morning I just woke up and I was just tired of these guys just like hanging out there. So I grabbed my son's baseball bat and just started running across the street, all crazy looking, and he split, and no problem with that. It's not like I was going to do anything, but it was just, I just wanted to see how he would react, you know? And so, yeah, no problems after that. But yeah, so there was some targeting going on, some strange phone calls. And actually, the police department had contacted me when April was staying there, saying that they found this guy with a list of phone numbers near a phone booth, and our phone number happened to be on his list. And they were just sort of like trying to figure out why he had all these phone numbers, and he was calling different people, and they were going to have me come in and, you know, talk to the detective and stuff. And, you know, he was in custody, and then all of a sudden they dropped it. It was sort of like he was released, and it's like, oh, so you didn't want to talk to me? No, it was dealt with. And it's, okay. So I'm like wondering, like, if the FBI or CIA or whoever just said, oh, this is our guy, or, you know, we'll take it over from here or whatever. But I think he was probably the guy that was going to these phone booths and sort of initiating these computer sounds or whatever to activate her. But it was just interesting that the police department kind of was like really curious, like, why is your phone number on this list here with this guy who's kind of like, who is he? They didn't even know who he really was or. So, yeah, it was a crazy time. And actually, there was a while where I just, you know, because I had to be concerned about the safety, not just my safety, but the safety of my family, I just sort of took a break from it all and didn't really get into writing or doing research or anything like that until about 2001, right after 9/11 happened. And I just realized, that, okay, well, I just can't sit back and just, you know, not say anything, because I just realized that something was amiss about the whole 9/11 attack. And I didn't get too heavy into that, but it just sort of like sparked my interest again in conspiracy research. And, you know, something I wanted to bring up about conspiracy is a lot of times people would say, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. And I go, not really. They go, well, what do you mean? And I go, I'm a conspiracy realist, because there are some conspiracies that are purely theoretical, and then there are conspiracies that are actually real that can be proven. It's just like science. There's some scientific fact and scientific theory. So that's why I'm a conspiracy realist, taking in mind that, you know, there are different levels of conspiracy and investigation and research. And so, you know, you have to be really objective about it, because there are a lot of things that are might sound really appealing and sensational. And it's like you want to believe it, but I always try to come at things from a skeptic's perspective. And that's why I didn't believe in a lot of this mind control stuff that our government was doing, because it was just, you know, well, probably too much to handle, being that my, you know, dad was in the Navy and the military. And I was just thinking that our military always thinks in our best interest, but, you know, later I learned differently. So,
well, also too, you've got the black government or deep state or whatever that we have that usually run a lot of these programs, and these elected officials that we have don't really know a whole lot that's going on. So when they get asked about it, They're like, oh, we don't know anything about that, and Lord, no, we wouldn't do anything like that. Well,
yeah, that's very true. You know, it's so many things are compartmentalized in our lives. You know, I mean, that's like secret societies. They're very compartmentalized, and so that's why they can do the things they do and hold the secrets of the mystery schools. And not to say that all people in secret societies are evil or whatever, but at the same time, I always look at what people's intent are, and then I look at the foundation of what they're a part of. And so, you know, I know people that are Freemasons and stuff, but I care not to be involved in it, because I don't agree with the foundation of what it is. It may have started out with humble beginnings, and, you know, there was a good reason to have it, but I just don't, I'm just not big on having secrets to sort of just usurp knowledge and to hold it from other people. I guess that's where I'm at with it. And it's the same way with our intelligence agencies. It's extremely compartmentalized, and there's I've known like people in different branches and NSA and CIA, and it's kind of like they're just so narrow-minded when it comes to certain things because they were only spoon-fed so much. You know, they had their own specialty and they couldn't really look outside of the box. So it was always frustrating sometimes when it's like, God, I know more about what's going on than you do in certain areas. You know.
I want to ask you a question real quick about what's your thoughts on the emergency text messages to everybody's phone that's supposed to be coming up from FEMA? What do you think's behind all of that?
Hey, I've heard about that. And yeah, that's pretty weird. So is it going to just simply be a text that you're going to receive? Or is it going to be like the emergency broadcast system where there's various tones or whatever?
The article says a majority of cell phone users will receive an alert on Thursday, September 20th, with the header presidential alert. And the message, this is a test of the National Wireless Emergency Alert System. No action is needed. Didn't they try that out in Hawaii and that ended up really badly?
Well, something like that. Not quite, but... Yeah, again, I think that thing was just sort of a test run to see how people would respond. But, the way that thing went down, it's kind of like, well, you just pushed the wrong button. No, it just wasn't that. There's a lot of other protocols that had to take place for that to actually happen. So the excuse that they gave, I think, was not accurate. And this whole thing that's coming up with FEMA, I think part of it is just sort of how do people respond to something like that? What do people think? What does it do on a mass level? I think it creates more fear than anything else. And
yes.
And so, but when I heard about that, it reminded me of that movie called Cell that came out a few years ago. I don't know if you ever saw that movie. But basically, people answered their phones and all of a sudden they hear this tone and all of a sudden they start going crazy, you know, like they turn into like zombies or whatever and start. So that's what it's like. Okay, when that comes out of my phone, I am just going to erase it. it's just hard to say, but I think what they're also trying to do is trying to acclimate us to sort of create this illusion what FEMA is supposed to be there for. Like they're there to help us under all emergencies and all disasters. And so we're here for you. So they're just trying to create more awareness of what FEMA is. And what they're doing is they're trying to control the narrative regarding that and how they want to portray FEMA is. And with all these different disasters, you're going to see FEMA more and more, you know. And so I look at it from two different perspectives. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Could this be another way for, because, you know, the president starts talking about fake news. Could this be a way for him to reach out to Americans if the big media shuts him down? Do you think he is that type of president?
Well, I think he might have good intentions, but the reality is that, I mean, this is my perspective, that it doesn't make any difference who the president is. They're still puppets, and they're still going to be manipulated. If they can't be manipulated, then they're going to be strong-armed or coerced, you know? And so I think maybe that perhaps that's what's going on with Trump right now, that he's being strong-armed because he's not going along with the plan, so to speak. And, I just, the way I look at politics at that level, I just don't have a lot of hope. I believe that, that people really need to empower themselves, and because you just can't rely on our government or you know, our churches
right.
or religion or anything else. We have to empower ourselves, because it always seems like, you know, there's a lot of hope, especially when there's a new president that comes on board. And I want to be hopeful about that, but I just, on an innate level, and then just looking at the past, right? It just,
right.
It's never good, you know, it's never
it's
good.
Tough.
And so, you know, again, I think, you know, it's just another thing I wanted to bring up while we're talking about is this whole thing about QAnon and how people are just so entranced with it and think, oh my God, you know, this is, we're getting all this revelation. But to me, it's just another distraction. There's nothing really new under the sun. It's not like we're getting this, like, you know, privy to all this intel that's being funneled through Trump or whoever else. But it's just interesting. I look at it, it's basically a psyop to distract people from really what's going on.
Oh yeah, that's with a lot of the weather conditions too. It's like,
mm-hmm.
look over here, this bad story's happening. No, we're going to have a high school shooting, and that
yeah,
could be.
I mean,
a lot of that could be those what you were talking about, those children that are being trained,
yeah.
and then this happens.
Right. Well, I think what's going on right now that we're having all these really extraordinary and traumatic events happening on sort of on an exponential level where it's basically desensitizing people. And
yes.
with that desensitization, it's also creating a lot of fear, a lot of confusion. And we're also at that point in society now where there's this extremism of thought. So basically, if you don't agree with me, then you're on the other side, or, you know, you're evil or whatever. So there's no longer civil discourse where people can agree to disagree. And so you especially find this on social media where people are just out of their minds a lot of times, whether it's the, you know, liberals or conservatives, Republicans or Democrats. And they have so much disdain for one another, and they think both parties are—they're both idiots, right? And
yes.
and then they'll try to, you know, have all this information to substantiate their point of view. But the reality is, when you take a hard look at it, both sides are pretty corrupt. So that's why I try to like educate people on dialectics, like Hegelian dialectics. Where you have controlled opposition, you're able to control both sides of an issue and create a synthesis, which is the desired result. And this has been going on for a few centuries now, where we've perfected that. And that's why right now we're at a point, especially in the United States, where we can't hardly agree on anything, and we have all this division and discord. And the elite are just laughing at us, you know, because this is part of the social engineering program. So
exactly right.
It's just very, you know, disheartening to see that. And I try to reason with people, try to be rational, because I consider myself a moderate. I'm not really left or right. There's some views that are more liberal, and then I have some views that are more conservative. But I don't like to be put in a box, you know. And so we've really lost sight of individualism and who we are. And a lot of people don't even, they want to change the world, but they don't want to change themselves, basically. And that's just how I'm seeing sort of the society on a microcosm level and like what's going on around the world on a macrocosm level.
I think the world's run by a small group of people living somewhere in the mountains in a Bavarian castle.
Yeah.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Well, you know, well, it's just kind of like the Illuminati mythos. where people are saying, oh, it's the Illuminati. And it's like, well, sorry to tell you, the Illuminati only existed for about 12 years. But a lot of people don't want to hear that. Oh, no, the Illuminati is. And I go, no, that's just a catchphrase to talk about the elite or a small group of people. But if you look at the Illuminati from a historical perspective, they only lasted from about 1776 to about 1788. And there are various types of forms of that type of group, but you can't. That's what's upsetting sometimes is how it gets so ingrained too in pop culture, and then it becomes hip, like, ooh, Illuminati, ooh. And they have all this symbolism in pop culture and stuff like that, and how it's misplaced and misused and misinterpreted.
I could have swore it was a few years ago I found a website online that would allow me to join the Illuminati, but I guess that's probably
not
real.
Oh, yeah, you can. you can, but it's not the Illuminati with the trademark.
I'm not going to be part of a secret, elite, powerful club then. I'll probably just get a yearly newsletter.
Yeah.
Oh, Jason, well, that's
probably
heart.
You know, they just probably do it like a tongue-in-cheek. And then, you know, the other thing is, like, there are some people that come out, oh, I was in the Illuminati, and, you know, I've come out, and now I'm exposing it now, and it's just sort of like I just have to laugh. And a lot of times people say, well, aren't you into conspiracy stuff? And I go, yeah, but I don't believe everything I hear. I mean, you got to look at history sometimes, and, you know, yeah, history can be manipulated and twisted and stuff like that, but look at primary source documentation as much as you can to kind of understand how things are the way they are. And you have to look at different sort of catchphrases that sort of go viral and understand why they go viral. And sometimes it's actually a psyop to distract us from something else that's going on. So I always try to be cognitive of certain things that sort of like go viral, or why people like gravitate towards certain things, especially whether it's conspiracy or in the paranormal, because sometimes we lose sight of, you know, being objective and looking at things in a rational manner.
So I see the clock. We're running out of time, but I want to ask you, I've been sitting on this question for a little bit, your opinion, and maybe you can educate the listeners to what this is. What's your stance on Bohemian Grove?
Oh, yeah, the Bohemian Grove. I was actually there in 2012. I was with a bunch of people, with part of what was called Occupy Bohemian Grove, because, you know, they had sort of the Occupy movement around that time, and so it was interesting. There were a bunch of, you know, old hippies and young activists there basically protesting, you know, the elite coming together and making these worldwide decisions that really have no benevolent intention for humankind. You know, it's just for themselves. And as far as, let's say, like the rituals and stuff like that that go on, I believe that actually does happen. I don't think it always happens when they meet there in July, but I actually think that occurs in different parts of the year. But a lot of times people would just say, oh, they're having their rituals there and stuff. And yeah, I believe they do have them there. I don't think that all those people that are part of Bohemian Grove are participants in the actual sacrifices necessarily, but I think there are a lot of very, very evil, nefarious things that occur there throughout the year, not just when they meet there in July, though.
I saw the documentary. Who was it? Was it Alex Jones? Infiltrated
yeah.
it. And the,
oh, yeah, yeah.
And the whole, like, whoa, really? These presidents and people like that doing some weird worshiping, I don't remember the name of it. It was a Moloch or something in a ceremony.
Well, again, getting to the compartmentalization, I think there are a few people that are sort of invited to go there, and then they check it out, and then they might go a little deeper into it. So it's just sort of a feeling out thing for people that first go there. But the ones that regularly go there, I'd be pretty suspicious of, because, again, things are very compartmentalized, and there might be a few people that aren't privy to that, but I think people at the very top, I'd have to say, have very malevolent intentions, and they're definitely not on our side.
Well, I hope there's a such thing as karma with all these, if they're doing anything really terrible. And
I do too. Yeah, I do too. And, you know, again, it's just, I think we need to really empower ourselves with knowledge and healing. Because again, there's so many people that are very zealous in wanting to change the world and wanting to make a better world. But it really starts with ourselves, and we need to really be more proactive and conscientious of making ourselves better and, understanding what our motivations are as well.
Absolutely. Well, we're out of time. Ron, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to coming on the show this evening. And it's been great fun. Hopefully we can get you back in the future. I could talk about conspiracy till the sun comes up. I love it. Eat it up.
Yeah, maybe if we can keep on one conspiracy, maybe even two,
Sure. Then
I can elaborate a lot more. But when you're trying to get all this into 1 hour, it's a little problematic. But I enjoyed talking with both of you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, definitely.
It's been great.
I did too.
Now, if people want to learn more about you or look at your writings, where can you direct them to?
Just plug in my name on a Google search. That's probably, I don't actually have a personal website, but they can just put in like Ron Patton conspiracy or Ron Patton mind control or something like that. And, but you can also definitely go to paranoiapublishing.com for all of our books and magazines that we offer. And for the radio show that I produce, Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis, they can go to groundzeromedia.org, and it'll also show you where to check out some of our archive shows as well.
Very
yes, Jason,
cool.
You
well,
need
thank
to check out the Sunshine Man.
What was that?
I
told Jason he needs to check out the Sunshine Man.
Oh, yeah, that show that we had just the other day. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. The neat thing about Clyde is, Clyde Lewis is, he writes an article or a monologue for each show, a very lengthy article. And he puts a lot of work into the show, and it's not like any other late-night talk show. So hopefully your listeners will be able to check it out as well.
Well, I'm going to check it out right here in a few minutes. I'm intrigued. But thanks again, Ron, and hopefully we can get you back in the future. And, just thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks. I appreciate the time.
All righty. Well, that about wraps up the show for the evening. I want to thank Maria so much for coming on and helping me out, because Sherry wasn't able to make it this evening. So thank you, Maria.
Yeah, Sherry. We hope you get better.
Yes, absolutely. So I want to thank all the listeners. Please give us a like on Facebook, Paranormal Horizons on Facebook. Thanks again, Maria. I want to thank Ron for coming on and talking about conspiracy. And with that, we hope everybody has a great and outstanding safe week. Good night, everyone.
Good night.